I'm Vernon Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Shauna Thornhill, OD, owner of Amarillo Vision Specialists.
Where did you grow up?
Wow, that's kind of a loaded question for me. I was actually born in Colorado. I went to 17 schools, kindergarten through 12th grade. So a lot. You know, everybody always asks me why, and I always say my dad was kind of searching for the perfect job, and he never really found it. But somehow we ended up in Amarillo, Texas. We got here my sophomore year of high school, and I stayed here my sophomore, junior, and senior year, which is the longest I'd ever been anywhere. So when people ask me where home is, I say Amarillo, but technically I guess Colorado is true.
Oh, well, we're in Colorado.
Cortez is where I was born. Not very many people know where that's at. I say by Durango.
I was through there a number of years ago. We went to Mesa Verde and hit Durango. Yes.
Yes, everybody knows Mesa Verde, so we went there for many picnics as a child.
What are some of the things then that your father did?
Oh, gosh. He worked construction mainly. That was kind of his big thing. But then he was a tow truck driver. He was a welder. He welded a lot. He finally got his GED when I was in third grade. Mm. And then at that point, he decided to become an aircraft mechanic and went and did training for that. And that industry is a little volatile as well. So we moved around quite a bit for that. But that's what got us to Amarillo. We were in Phoenix before here, and there was a company called Dynair that had a hangar out here, and so that's what brought us this way.
What did your mother do?
So, well, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for most of my life. When we got to Amarillo, Texas, she actually became a cashier at Walmart, and she's been with Walmart now for, 24 years, I think. She's the personnel manager, actually, at one of the stores I have a lease at. So, yeah, full circle, huh?
So how did you decide on optometry?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I actually do not wear glasses. I'm an emmetrope. And so I was the math and science nerd in school. You know, I think most optometrists probably were. And I started working for Walmart in the Vision Center right after high school to help pay for college. And sort of got interested in the eyes. And there was a really nice doctor who was next door who, funny enough, actually works for me now. And so just kind of got me interested in the eyes. And, you know, I did the whole rounds with dentistry, and I worked for an oncologist for a little while in college. And, you know, just the eyes were really cool to me. So that's kind of what led me that way.
I saw that you had started off in zoology.
Yes, and that's actually what my bachelor's degree's at. You know, it's so funny. People ask me why I did zoology. And I say, well, because I didn't have to study plants, because at Texas Tech, the whole plant track too, to get the biology degree. So the running joke in my office when my patients see my degree, I always say, yeah, if this optometry thing don't work out, I'll go be a zookeeper. So
why contact lenses?
I think contact lenses are fascinating. You know, I've also got a minor in chemistry, and I think the chemistry behind it is really, really interesting. I remember taking a tour one time of one of the contact lens facilities, and I got to meet one of the chemists who created one of the lenses, and I thought that was just so interesting. I mean, it was almost like accidental how they created this lens, but the story behind it is so cool. You know, besides that, I think patients get such a just a feel-good boost when they wear a contact as opposed to glasses. You know, there's sort of a negative stereotype that goes along, you know, the whole four-eye thing with glasses. Although I think we're getting better. Glasses are getting trendier now. But yeah, I think patients really feel good when they wear contacts.
What's something your colleagues don't know about you?
Oh, well, I'd say probably the 17 school thing. You know, not many people know that I went to 17 schools, because when asked, I say I'm from Amarillo, Texas, you know, so.
You studied, I think, in Philadelphia, right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
How bad was the culture shock going from panhandle of Texas to Philadelphia?
You know, for me, not too bad, because, again, I'd moved around so much, although that was my first East Coast experience. But now my husband, I was already married. We were married in undergrad, and he was born, raised, you know, in the panhandle of Texas. So that was a huge culture shock for him. But, you know, and it was so funny. I never thought I had an accent. Having just lived in Texas, you know, like, not that long, and I got up there, and I would get two words out, and they'd be like, where are you from? And so, but I loved Philly. I thought the people were wonderful, genuine, great people. They're different than down here for sure, but wonderful people. I loved my experience there.
Did you ever have a cheesesteak?
Oh, of course. I miss them. In fact, I have dreams about cheesesteaks still to this day. Oh, I love them. Yes, they were so delicious. But, you know, when I was up there, I missed barbecue. Like, they didn't have barbecue anywhere. And I would crave barbecue. And I eat barbecue almost on, like, probably a biweekly basis here because it's just so good. I missed it. But, oh, yeah, I'd kill for a good cheesesteak here.
I read that you went from working at an optometrist dream practice to join a practice at Walmart in Amarillo. Why did you leave the dream practice for a Walmart
practice?
It's so
funny. I know. You know, everybody always asks me, I kind of did things backward from most optometrists. You know, most people use corporate optometry sort of as a stepping stone to get their own practice, to save the money, to buy the equipment. And I started out at this multi-million dollar, multi-doctor, really luxury practice. And I liked it. I had great patients there. But it really wasn't sort of filling my heart with what I felt was calling me. And that was really to volunteer. And, you know, when you don't own the practice, you don't have as much say. And let's face it, five doctors are harder to agree with than yourself. And so, you know, my ideas always sound better to me than to four other people. So I kind of decided where would be the next step for me. And, you know, this Walmart that I'm at now, it's in the heart of the community where my high school's at. And it's very impoverished. And over 80% of the kids at the high school I went to is on the free lunch program. So I just felt that I can make more of an impact in patients' lives, not only in the eye world, but in other ways too here. And I do, and I love it. I always tell Walmart, I really hope they let me retire here because I've just found where I fit in.
You know, you started up there and your mom works at Walmart. I mean, was she part of that transition getting you in there?
Well, I'm sure, you know, a lot of, so basically there's four Walmarts in the town that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I worked at one, and that was actually me and my mom worked there at the same time. And so I know lots and lots of employees that have still been there, or that are still there today. And she probably played a little bit of role. The first lease, I've got two leases at two Walmarts. And the first one I got was actually the one she's working at. That was sort of just, I don't know, the opportunity hit at the right time, but it sure is fun to go to lunch with my mom, you know, when I can.
How does starting up a practice partnership with Walmart differ from starting up in an office park?
Oh, well, I think the biggest advantage of being at a Walmart is you walk in and almost everything's ready. You know, your equipment's there, your patient base is there. I mean, I bet I have 1,000 people that walk past my sign, you know, every single day. You almost can't buy that advertising. Well, I say that with enough money, I'm sure you can buy anything. But, you know, I've got patients that walk by every single day and say, oh, let me get my eyes checked too. So it's convenient. You know, it's very convenient. You know, I've got tons of student loans. I certainly didn't have that big nest egg to start my own practice. And you really need to have that, you know, to start that. I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars to open a really basic practice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the neat thing with Walmart. They supply all the equipment. You are basically, you lease out the space and you just pay Walmart rent. And it's a phenomenal rent. You know, I mean, I couldn't go down the street and buy the same size place or even rent it really at another, you know, like a strip mall or something and pay that amount of money, you know. So, the equipment's already there. I mean, it's got top of the line equipment. You know, if I was starting out my own practice, I wouldn't have as nice of equipment as I do at Walmart. You know, you got to set up a lot. I'm in a two-door state, so you've got to set up, you know, your employees and that sort of stuff. But I mean, basic things. You know, pencils, paper clips, all that sort of stuff.
I read that you had started up a free eye exam / toy drive day. How did the free eye exam toy drive day come together?
Well, okay, so Basically, so we've done it for 5 years now, and we sat in just kind of a staff meeting, and like I said, this community here is very socioeconomically challenged, and there's lots of my patients that couldn't get eye exams. You know, they'd come in, and they would scrape all the cash they could to pay for mom's eye exam or whoever, but, you know, all the rest of the family was missing an eye exam, and so I thought, well, what could we do to really make an impact with that? And so I came up kind of with the free eye exam day. And I wanted to take it a step further. I said, you know, could we maybe ask them to buy a toy or something to just, you know, help out another group? And so that's kind of how the idea started. My dad was a Marine, so, you know, Toys for Tots had been familiar to me. And then just kind of to bring it in the Walmart family a little more, the lady who's across the wall, actually in one of my exam rooms, is the cash office in Walmart, and she is the Toys for Tots coordinator for our area. And so, I mean, it just really kind of came together. So then I got to thinking, well, you know, how could we partner with Walmart and make it even better? So I approached the Walmart managers of the two stores and I said, hey, if we did this, you know, and had everybody bring a free toy or a toy for a free eye exam, would you match the donations? And they said, yeah, absolutely. And so then we got all the matches, and then every year it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. We bring a bunch of my patients, like I've got several that play Santa Claus, and so we've got Santa Claus that comes out. The Vision Center manager next door, his daughter is an incredible singer, and so she comes out and sings for it. That high school I attended, I sponsor tons of stuff there, and so they've got the ROTC, actually Marine Corps ROTC, and so they come out and do all sorts of cool rifle throwing for us. And then the cheerleaders there, I sponsor them, so they were like, let us come out and do some cheers. And so, it, I mean, it's just turning into this huge community event. We are so proud of it. It's so cool.
Well, did the drive open up other community and professional opportunities?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. So a lot of the news stations here and the radio stations had heard about it and picked up the story. And this year we got to be on two of the local newscasts, one of the radio casts. And so, I mean, that's been some great connections. You know, I'm real involved right now with something called Leadership Amarillo, which is basically just a leadership group in our town, and all sorts of people that are in leadership positions get together and just network and, you know, talk about community and what our city needs. And they were such a great resource to me now and still are. A bunch of them helped out with the toy drive. It's opened up so many cool things, so many.
What started your interest in optometry leadership?
I'm always just so excited to do something more and do something better and just take it to another level. And so I think I just kind of always gravitate towards those positions. I'm sure my husband would wish I'd stop sometimes. But yeah, I don't know. I like to be part of the solution, not the problem. And so, I don't know. I just always like to do stuff and be involved.
So are you looking maybe to move into any Texas state optometry leadership roles?
Well, it's funny. The dream practice that I worked in, actually the owner of that was president of the TOA at one point. And I learned a lot from him. I mean, he was a very smart guy, great businessman. And so I don't know. I've never thought that far. Politics, I don't know. I wouldn't turn it down, but I'm not going to say I'm ready for that quite yet.
Okay, I may have just planted a terrible seed then.
I know. My husband will be calling you later, I promise.
I remember that you're also part of Energize. What
yes.
challenges do corporate optometrists have versus academic and private practicing ODs?
Oh, gosh, a lot. Well, you know, I kind of think that corporate optometrists were sort of the afterthought in optometry, you know. I still get lots of patients say, now, are you a real doctor? You know, and they just don't know. But, you know, I'm just as trained as every other optometrist, you know. And so I think that's one of the biggest issues we face is the public perception of us. And that's something that we've really got to work towards. And I think that's why Energize is such a great association. I'm one of the chartered members of that. And when they came about, I was so excited because you can get a network of corporate ODs together, you know, talking about some of these challenges and trying to come up with solutions to some of these challenges. So it's a cool group. And if any of y'all out there aren't members of it, I'll put a plug in for it now. It's amazing. And you should be a member.
So how do you and your husband, since you mentioned your husband, and he may call me, how do you and your husband keep a work-life balance?
Oh, gosh. You know, we enjoy the simple things, I got to say. Spending time with my children. We have two children, a five-year-old and a two-year-old. Just hanging out with them every night is perfect. Doing homework and baths and, you know, all the normal just family life. Me and him, we like to go to the movies, you know, again, all the simple things. There's not a whole lot to do in Amarillo, Texas, I'll be honest. That's pretty much all we do is we go eat a lot. We've got a lot of restaurants here, so we eat a lot. But yeah, just all the simple things. We go on vacations, you know, at least we've got an airport here so we can get to anywhere we want. We just went to Vegas here not too long ago where I got to meet Jennifer Lopez. One of the coolest moments of my life, by the way. So we went there. He actually took me there for my birthday and it was awesome. We went to Maui, to Jamaica. Where else? The Broadmoor in Colorado Springs is fantastic. I love that place too. So beautiful, so serene. Disney World and Disneyland, you got to hit those two spots with young kids. So thanks to the AAO for doing their meeting at Disneyland last year. That was a nice one.
What's one thing that you would change about optometry as it stands now?
Ooh, gosh, that's a great question. What would I change? You know, I kind of wish we were more like MDs, where we weren't as state regulated. You know, I bet that's pretty hard. Having moved around so much, you know, I'm certainly not wanting to do that, but that would be a really difficult challenge to face, you know, having to take all sorts of different state exams, just moving from state to state, you know. I think that would be way better if it were, I guess, federally regulated. I don't know if that's the right term, but, you know, I'm trying to remember. I had a professor in school one time, and I think she used to say, I wish you could practice as taught in every state, you know, because our training goes a lot beyond the scope that my state allows me to do. And so, you know, when MDs don't face that. When they're taught something in school, they get out and they can do it. And that's not the way optometry is right now.
Well, what are some of the limitations that Texas puts on you?
Oh, gosh, we got quite a few. We have a lot of limitations on pharmaceuticals. You know, certain pharmaceuticals were only allowed to write for a certain amount of days, which is kind of hard to treat your patient, you know, the way they need to be treated if you can only write an antibiotic for X number of days. That's kind of the big one. We're not allowed to do anything with lasers, injectables, you know, which some states are actually starting to acquire those now, which we're taught in school how to do all those. But, you know, again, can't do that because I'm in Texas. So
is there anything else you would change apart from that?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, I love my profession in general. I think it's a great family-friendly career where I get to impact people's lives on a daily basis. You know, I had another professor once say, nothing affects the quality of your life like your vision. And that has stuck with me since school. And so I think it's an amazing profession. I mean, I have students shadow me all the time and boy, I'm really pushing how great it is. So I don't know. I love it.
Now for our last question. And as I always say, we inflict this one on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Well, I can tell you my husband would probably say buying a pair of $2,000 Manolo Blahnik shoes. He always says that's the craziest thing I ever did. But I think those shoes are priceless. I think they were worth every penny. You know, I don't know. I think a better question for me would be, what kind of crazy things do you make other people do? I always find myself doing, like, asking people to do crazy things for me. And they do it. It's so funny. I'll give you an example. For our Christmas party, I had just heard a speech on poverty here in town. And, like, the high number of junior high and high school girls who do not attend school the week of their period because they don't have pads and tampons. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? We're going to get some pads and tampons for these girls. And so I made my whole staff have come to the Christmas party. Before they could even come in the door, they had to bring boxes of pads and tampons. And so we took them all, and we ended up getting tons. They were all great sports, even the gentlemen, and brought these and took pictures with them. And then I had them, like, all stashed in my car. And I was like, oh, please, please don't let a police officer stop me. He's going to wonder why I have this overflow of feminine hygiene products in my car. So I think that's always funner to ask. I don't know.
That's a good one.
We did. We got lots of them. And they were very happy and very thankful. So
Are you going to do that one again?
Yes. Yes, I totally am.
Have you come up with a marketing name for it yet?
I need to. I'll think on that. I'll get back to you. I need a really great marketing name for that.
Okay. Well, if one hits me, I'll send it to you.
Perfect.
John, it's been great talking to you today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was very fun.